We've enjoyed some pretty special times here in Minnesota with regards to the Minnesota Twins baseball program. Specifically 1987 and 1991. Do you remember those years, guys? Huh? Do you remember those years? Minnesota fans will never forget those times. Homer Hankies, a lot of excitement, volume levels that are unprecedented in the Metrodome, the former Metrodome. Now we have Target Field, which is worthy of another hand, would you not say? Outdoor baseball for Minnesota Twins. No question, special times for Minnesota baseball history in 87 and 91. And I am very humbled and privileged to introduce to you this morning our guest speaker, Al Newman. Al was a big part of the 1987 and 91 Minnesota Twins in those World Series championship teams. Al came to Minnesota via a collegiate career at San Diego State University and was drafted in the first round by the Montreal Expos. In fact, I believe it was the 12th pick in the draft that year that Al was drafted. He spent some time with the Montreal Expos, made his major league debut in 1985 with the Expos, and 2 years shortly thereafter, the Lord had a great plan. And he said, I'm sending Al to the Minnesota Twins, and I'm going to bless the Minnesota Twins baseball team and their fans with 2 World Series titles. So Al comes to us, and we win 2 World Series titles while Al here is at the Minnesota Twins baseball program. And then Al continues his feat beyond the Minnesota Twins, and he supports the organization today through coaching, managing. You'll see him on TV, you'll hear him on the radio. I had one young lady who was helping us set up this morning saying, I see Al Newman everywhere. God is using this band in a big way after his baseball days, but we are so humbled and privileged to have this man here this morning to share with us and inspire with us a good word. And would you please join me and stand in welcoming this Minnesota Twins sports hero, Al Newman.
Can you guys hear me back there? My voice is probably loud enough anyway. Can you hear me?
You got to turn up.
Yeah, I think I do. First of all, you can hear me all right? Okay, first of all, I'd like to give glory to God as I do on a daily basis. Give him my graces and my love because, as you guys have heard earlier, without him, none of this is possible. So I just want to give the praise and glory right off the front. And it is an honor to be here. It's an honor to be known as Al Newman, the Minnesota Twins, world champion. Yes, when I came here, they did win. And then when I left here, they did not win anymore. So, you know, it's rather ironic. I came back in 2002 as a coach, and they started to win again. I left 2006, and they finished third. I am a blessing to Minnesota. I love it here. This has been my home since I was traded here years ago. It's just been fun. It's been full of love and lessons. One of the first things I want to do here, I'd like to have, I want to just call us the Friday Friends. The guys that are in my Bible study group, would you please stand? There's three or four of us here, back there in the back. I just thank you guys for coming. I thank you guys for the weekly worship. I know I'm a burden on Gary, who picks me up every day because I do not drive. Gary, I thank you very much. But as well as the Hosanna, the church Hosanna, I honestly believe that my growth as a Christian man has gotten and been influenced and been strengthened through Pastor Bill Boleyn and I got to look at his name, Derek Russ, who's no longer there. The choir, a little story on the choir pastor who is now with New Day, John. When I first started going to Hosanna, the main attraction to me was the music. The choir was just awesome, and I enjoyed singing, irregardless of whether my voice is good or not. I'm very boisterous there at Hosanna, but you know, at that time, I was a coach with the Twins, and I like to go to their early service, which is 8 o'clock, 8:30, what have you, and I'd always bring my wife, and we'd get there early just so I could hear the choir, because as a coach, you've got to be at the ballpark by 8:45, 9 o'clock. So I don't know if you guys, some of you guys that don't go to Hosanna, those of you who do know, John has left Hosanna and now is over at New Day. And I had a friend that started going there, so John would always say, yeah, I don't even come to Hosanna. And the only reason why he comes is because he enjoys the choir. And for the music, once the music stops, Al leaves. Well, he never put it together that I had to go to work. And the only reason why I would leave was because of that. But I just want to give glory again to the Almighty Father. A couple of things I want to lead off. I have two saying, two verses on my sheet, but I call my mom's a verse. I call it the Shirley or Medea 3:16. And it's something that my mother has always said to me. Matter of fact, when I got old enough to read, she put it on a little card. For some of you fellas that have been and heard me speak, I always speak of my mom, Medea, who was the leader and spiritual counselor for me throughout my life. And Gary Parker's probably tired of hearing this. But my mother has always told me that I was blessed and highly favored, designed to prosper. I must trust and be faithful. And throughout my life, whenever I've been troubled, being the oldest child of three, I would always go back to that saying that I was blessed. And I was highly favored. Not only in my parents' eyes, but Almighty Father, I was favored. And all I have to do is trust the program. That's always weighed on me. I've carried that. I've passed it along to my kids, but I've already reached for that. Not a Bible verse. I reach for Bible verses too, but I've always grasped what my mother told me as my spiritual leader. And as a kid growing up in Kansas City, Missouri, in the 60s, during some turbulent times, it was something that was there for me. By no means am I trying to say I grew up a needy kid, but growing up in the 60s was quite tough. You know, you had the Martin Luther King deal, which for me is and still will always be a major factor for me as a man. The opportunity that was presented to me, being a kid of the 60s, not only because of Jackie Robinson, but Martin Luther King, they were the two guys that I held in high esteem. Martin Luther King is such a trivial part of my worth as far as my spiritual growth, my mother and Martin Luther King. But when times got tough, I'd always think of Martin and some of the things that he would say. I knew his verses verbatim, which got me through tough times. And again, by no means am I making excuses of how I was raised or where I grew up, but growing up in Kansas City, the oldest, going through my parents being divorced at my teenage years, I never thought it was tough, but it was tough. You had to make decisions. When we left Kansas City, which is where I was born and raised. I don't know if it's been up there, but I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. And I mentioned the kid of the 60s. Athlete, played the sports, went to private schools. Realized that my parents were making sacrifices for me at that time. As a kid, you don't realize how much of a sacrifice, because there was a lot of pride involved, where the kids were always put in the front. We were always blessed and highly favored, as Medea always would say. I'm speaking to you today, and I got to stop for a second because I'm speaking to this group today, and I've done tons and tons of speeches at schools and chamber of commerces and talking to high school athletes. But this is by far the first time I've spoken to a group that has such a glow about it. And it made me nervous. I remember when Mike first asked me to speak at this breakfast, Paul Molitor had spoke at a breakfast that Gary brought me to, along with the Midwest Challenge guys. And I said to myself, there's no way I could stand up here in front of you guys. I need more prep time. And through my going to Hosanna and through my men's group on Fridays, I got up enough courage to speak to this group. I don't know what it is about this group, but it worried me some. And again, I reached for Medea, my mother, and talked to her. She says, you could do it. She goes, I know you write down meticulous notes, but when you get up there, let the Spirit move you. And she's always been right. I've got to give her credit. I'm glad that they're taping this because it'll be another proud moment for her. But getting back to myself and not wanting to only talk about myself up here this morning, I don't want to be boring. I got to have fun up here. But, you know, when I got traded to the Twins, I'm going to move up a little bit. And I got traded to the Twins, and it was tough because I just had my first daughter. Got married when I was 25 years old. My first daughter was born January 26, 1987. I get traded to the Minnesota Twins. And it was a change in my life. But one for the better meant of not only my life, but the lore of Minnesota Twins baseball. It became my home. We win a championship here. And, you know, I came back to another verse. Jeremiah 29:11. I'll just read it. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And I thought about that when I got traded in 1987 to the Twins, the fear of the unknown. Having played in the National League, which they call the senior circuit, I thought I was better than the junior circuit. Which is the American League. But it took me even further back when I had to use this verse that my mother gave me when I was a kid and moved from Kansas City to California. At the age of 13, moved to Compton, California. And you're talking about an eye-opening experience going out there, going to Catholic schools in Kansas City and being a three-sport athlete. Back in those days, all you heard about was UCLA, how good basketball and football was out there on the West Coast. And now my mother's taking me to the Lions Den. I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to play sports. And she threw that verse out at me. Medea knew how to motivate you and challenge you to be the best you can and to just lay it out there and let the Lord take and run His course. Again, trust the program. And leaning on my mother, I got through that time. Well, this was another period being traded to the Minnesota Twins where I was grasping for something, the fear of the unknown, but the plan was laid out. And there have been some beautiful people here that have helped me along the way and helped me pave the path that I would like to undertake here. It's working with Midwest Challenge, doing a few things with teen challenges, going to the high schools, speaking to middle schools, reading Dr. Seuss books to elementary schools. I love that stuff. Passing on something that was given to me quite easily. It was just given. The Lord blessed me in so many ways. I don't want to bore you guys or bring you down, but I will say this. I wouldn't trade it for the world. Minnesota has been there for me. The people have been there for me. Gary has been there for me. Mike and all my brothers on Friday, Midwest Challenge. I can't say enough about Ronnie over here. He's one of the first guys I've met at a golf tournament and out at Boulder Point when Midwest Challenge is out there. He has a very contagious and infectious smile. I've watched him grow as he's watched me grow in ministry. I just want to be there for the kids. That's what my role is. I feel like I've been blessed to be able to play this sport, to be able to have a platform that allows me to speak to people and have people willing to listen to me. I thank you guys for coming out here to this breakfast. to hear this from me this morning. And it's very special, and it's been a life-changing few years, or quite a few years, from 1987 to get to the point where I feel like I'm a man with two daughters that are grown at 23 years old, having recently come through a failed marriage. Again, I really got to thank Pastor Derek Russ for his counseling with me on that matter. Because you love, you mentioned love. And I actually thought and used to say, and I know I'm part of that, but it comes with disappointment because I thought I had really found love. And I know I am loved. But I never forget that I said to my ex-wife that you've taught me how to love. She's brought me closer to my spiritual self. But that still was not enough to save our marriage. But I still love her for what she brought into my life as a young lady of the Lord and helping me raise my two daughters. But again, that's why I lean on my group on Friday. I know sometimes, fellas, I don't say much in there. I'm a pretty good listener in that arena. But believe me, when I walk out of there, I feel a glow. Fellas, I just want to say to you, don't be afraid. It doesn't mean that you're not a man. And I know we battle with that, showing our soft side, our sensitive side. When you have children, there's no such thing as a sensitive side. You are who you are. You're their father. That bravado stuff goes out the window. And excuse me for a second. I always want to give a special message to my Midwest Challenge fellas that I know that you can do it. You have to show the internal fortitude to be convicted and show conviction in your faith. By no means am I up here slamming a hammer. But I'm just saying, I grew up in the 60s when there were all kinds of excuses that could be out there. If you want to reach for it, reach for it. But if you're looking for strength, pick up that book. It's there for you. And it's there for you to lean on. It's there for you to find comfort. I really feel that I have been blessed, like I said earlier, an opportunity to come up here and talk to you men today. Unfortunately for me, there are no women here. Paul Molitor had a few young ladies here. Mike's wife even showed up when he planned for Molly's thing. There's no women here. But, you know, the thing about that is, I'm glad I got the same size room that Molitor did. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, but as Gary told me, I've got two rings, he's got one. Wanted to throw that out there. I had to let that one go. Because the first thing we said when I walked in, I said at the front desk, I said, for directions to come here, and I said, are all the rooms the same size? And when he said yes, I felt good about my opportunity here today to talk to you fellas. But thank you again for coming out here to listen to me. I just got a couple of more things I want to mention. I don't want to bore you to death, but I mentioned coming to Minnesota, and I mentioned coming to the junior circuit. But little did I know that I'd run across one of the guys that had the greatest impact as far as baseball was concerned, and that was Mr. Kirby Puckett, who was not only my best friend, but we share something that every day when I look in that mirror, I have to go back to my mother's verse of being blessed and highly favored, because he died of what I survived from 2 years before. I had a brain aneurysm September 8th, 2004, and laid in that coma for 30 days. And when I woke up, it was just like yesterday. I didn't know that time had passed. The doctor says to me, I got good news and I got bad news. Well, being the cheerful person that I am, I asked for the bad news first because I figured it couldn't have been that bad. I've got my eyes open, and I'm still here, so to speak. And the bad news was that the Twins were had clinched the division, and I said a profanity. I'm going to tell you the truth. I woke up, some of the first words out of my mouth were not the nicest words, because I'm going, no, you got to be kidding me. I said, when we came here, because it was the fourth game of a, it was the fourth game that I got sick at, of a, but we had only played two. No, excuse me, I got sick after the second game. We were a four-game series. Well, we lost the first two, and so we were tied, as far as I remember. But when he gave me that bad news, he turns on the television, and he shows Eddie Guardado sliding on foul territory, catching a pop-up. And all of a sudden, they show everybody running out to the field. Well, they pan the dugout, and there was my jersey hanging in the dugout. I go, that was the first shock. That was another shock. Was, why is my jersey hanging up in the dugout? Well, we've seen that before. That means somebody's dead. Right? They're hanging your jersey up in the dugout. So I'm going, why is my jersey hanging up there? And they didn't know what to say. But I saw the players jumping up and down. And now it hit me. Who are all you people in the hospital room? The time I was still married, my wife was there. I asked her, what are you doing here? And, you know, now I'm getting a little excited. They want me to settle down a little bit. And I said, Doc, if that's the bad news, what's the good news? He said, the good news is you might be able to go home in a week. And I guess the gist of that story is I was given another rebirth. To come back and to continue the work that I thought I was doing. It gave me extra time with my family to be a better father, to be a better friend. I was given extra time. And so on that, I want to go to this third verse that I had here. It's Matthew 20:26. Whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And I will say that after coming home and thinking about what had transpired in my life, my wife and my kids, and thinking about things, that was my second rebirth. That's when I dedicated truly trying to grow as a Christian man, trying to be a better father, at the time trying to be a better husband. It takes things like that, not as drastic, I hope, for some of you, for that to happen, for you to find your way. And I know we all go through things and trials and tribulations in our lives, but if you reach and reach and try to grasp on something, find that book and grasp to it. Find somebody to mentor you. Give it your effort. Don't let it take something like what happened to me to wake up and realize that the life, living the life, by no means was I like Jazzy Jay or whatever his name is and all those high-profile people, but I had a life that was fun. There wasn't a lot of restrictions to it. You know, I'd like to say I'm very fortunate rather than very lucky. There were six to eight other people or how many ever in my family that had died from a brain aneurysm. Yes, I was the youngest to survive. Not only survive, but I was the youngest. So I've been blessed to give more time, to give more grace, to be special for people who need me. So I started Numi Rewards, as you've probably seen it go across, which is something to help youth athletics. I do fundraising for youth, not only in sports, but they can play music, they can be band leaders, they can just be potential teachers. I just want to give something back, and myself and my partner, Sarah Fisher, started it about, I guess, 3 or 4 years ago. Very small, but what we do, what I think is a nice job. I'm just happy and blessed. You guys have heard my message today, but I think the main gist of it is, again, whoever desires to be great, whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And I want to be a servant for the Lord. If you guys need me or want to reach me, just go to NewmanRewards.com or what have you. Give me a call and I'll try to do what I can to help. I enjoy the ministry down at Midwest Challenge. Just give me a call anytime. I'll try to be there if I can, because it expands my world and it warms my heart to see smiles. And I try not to use lip service when I say that, because being in the position, I thank you guys all for whenever you see me. A lot of people ask me how I'm feeling. Well, you know what? I'm blessed, and I appreciate you asking. I never get tired of people asking me how I feel and what's going on in my life, because as I said earlier, I've been given extra time, and I saw that light while I was out, when I was in that coma. I saw my grandmother. I heard her call my name and wave me home. But then I also heard my mother call my middle name, which I could hear for miles and miles as a young man. You know, it was time to come back. And when I heard my mother call my name, I turned to her and I said, "Hold on, Mom, I'm talking to Grandmother." Right? Grandmother was gone when I turned around. So I came back. And this time I'm going to try to do better. I'm going to try to be the man that I'm supposed to be in the Word. And yes, I slip. I'm not going to lie. I've slipped. But I always try to reach and I always try to spend that time in the morning. Another thing, I used to watch my mother every morning. She'd wake up and she always had this quiet time. As a kid, I didn't know what that quiet time was. You know, but she spent time in her room studying, giving that time to the Lord. And over the years now, I've kind of developed that. It's so much easier to wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning when the sun is rising and reading the Word and know that you've been given another day to be an impact, to be an impact in somebody's life. So, fellas, I say to you this morning, and I say it wholeheartedly, I say it from my heart, take it. It's not promised to you. That's what Mom always said. Do something with it so at the end of the day, when you lay your head down, you've done good. You've done good. You've touched somebody's life in some way. Get rid of that anger at the end of the night. Get rid of it. Hand it over and let it be done. My name's Al Newman. I thank you for coming here this morning. I've been blessed and highly favored. And I'm designed to prosper just like you guys are. So let's go get them. Thank you very much.